Bringing you the latest research, tools, and common sense tips you need to get and stay healthy. It's Talk Healthy Today. Here's Lisa Davis.
So glad you're listening to Talk Healthy Today. I've been doing health media for many, many years now, and I remember interviewing one nutritionist in particular, and I remember she said, if you have vegans listening, I beg you, just eat sardines. That's all I ask. That's all I ask. Like, you don't have to go out and get the grass-fed organic meat or whatever, you know, but just eat some darn sardines because they make a big difference in your health. So the reason I'm bringing this up is because I have two wonderful gals, Amy Kramer and Lisa McCombsy. They join me now. They wrote Seagan Eating, The Lure of a Healthy, Sustainable Seafood and Vegan Diet, the Ultimate Seafood and Vegan Resource and Cookbook. Gals, welcome to Talk Healthy Today.
Thank you, Lisa. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You know, I know that both of you gals are vegans, correct?
Technically, Seagans, yes.
Oh, okay.
We were vegans for many years, yes. And then we added in vegans.
Yes.
We're calling ourselves vegans.
I
right,
love that.
Like
but
your nutritionist
you
friend
vegan,
said, we've added sardines and more along the seafood line. But yes, we were vegans, and we wrote a How to Go Vegan guide called the Vegan Cheat Sheet. So we took a little bit of a risk writing this book.
Well, it's a risk worth taking. I hope you feel that way, because it can be hard, and I feel like people need to be able to do what works for them. And I think that sardines are really, really healthy. And so talk to us. You know, Amy, for you, were you feeling like there was something missing from your vegan diet?
Not really. In all reality, I felt great. I felt like it's better than I had ever felt in my life. But I knew that from preliminary research that we had done, I felt that fish did not fall into the same category as dairy, as meat, as chicken, as poultry. So we started researching and realized that there, yes, indeed, there is something missing, that potentially missing from a vegan diet. So, no, I didn't think I was missing anything, but I have to tell you, as much as I love being vegan, vegan is amazing. It is so fun. It is so easy to eat anywhere. It's more variety to cook with. But once again, I really know. I never felt that there was anything missing. But gosh, do I love a delicious piece of Pacific salmon.
Ooh, gosh, me too. And how about for you? Did you feel like you were missing something with the vegan diet?
I feel the same way as Amy did. I tried it sort of on a dare. I thought I would hate it. I loved it. It was much easier than I thought. But I'm very interested in health and nutrition. And my research, like Amy said, told me that, you know, I was really missing out on the important omega-3 fatty acids. So I started sneaking fish now and then. And believe me, the vegan police are alive and well. People would, you know, point their finger at me and, you know, announce that wasn't vegan. So, you know, I felt like I was sort of trying to sneak fish into my diet. But when I began sharing it with friends, they all said, oh, wow, I could do that. If I could follow a plant-based diet and add fish, that I could do. So that's when we came out of the closet and we decided to write our second book, because we felt that it was a much more palatable diet for those who just couldn't stomach the thought of a 100% vegan diet.
You know, my sister's a Seagan, and she loves it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a big fan of you gals as well. But, you know, I have to say, not only do you have great recipes in this book and great nutritional information, you're both really funny. I mean, chapter 2, Why We Cheated on Plants. I mean, that's I love a book like that. Like, it's like you're just talking to a friend and you're just having fun and you share your stories. But then what's great is you go into Fish in a Flash, 5 Easy Preparations, things that can really help. I want to talk about some of those. The first one is Barbecue Bash. Talk to us a little bit about that, Amy, if you want to tell us about some of these fun ways to prepare fish.
Well, you know, I was always, I was petrified to cook fish. I have to be honest, before I wrote this book, it was really a learning curve for me, because I was always afraid to cook fish at home. Then I found out that just about any fish wrapped in foil, throw some spices in, throw maybe a little barbecue sauce in there, throw some white wine in there, whatever you want, make a little foil package, throw it on the grill, and you can't go wrong. And there's no cleanup whatsoever. So grilling fish, which you would think sticks to the grill, just throw in a piece of foil and throw it right onto the barbecue. Or that same exact package could be thrown in the oven if it starts raining, or right on a frying pan. And you really can't go wrong. So there's I think there's 8 or 10 different preparations of fish at boil. But yeah, grilling fish, that's the way that I like to go, so I don't have to risk losing half of the fish on the barbecue.
Yeah, because that's a pain in the butt. And I have to be honest, I do not make fish nearly as often as I should. And so I'm so glad we're talking again today, because I've talked to you guys before on another show, and I was making fish all over the place. And then I kind of just fell out of it. I'm like, I've got to get back into this, because I think it's such a great way to go. And I have a Whole Foods like a mile from me, and I can get so lazy, gals, and they've got great fish that's already cooked. So I'm really glad that we're chatting today, right? But I mean, I think it's important you get your fish, but you know, it is good to make it yourself. Now, Lisa, I want to talk a little bit about Chapter 9, recipe hacks, prep now, use later. I am all about the hacks here, and this is for Foodie Friday. So let's talk some of these. The first one is carrots.
Yeah, I'm really going to defer to Amy on this, because these are all, I have to confess, Amy's the chef. I'm not. And I'm sort of in your camp, Lisa. I'm a little bit intimidated about cooking fish. Amy has completely changed my mindset on that. So I've been, since this book came out, I've been preparing my own fish at home. I'm very proud of myself. But Amy came up with all those great little recipe hacks, and I know they involve chopping and dicing and putting them in the freezer, and I know they've helped me, but I'll let her weigh in on that.
Yeah, and let me, this is Amy, let me start by saying that the way that I write a recipe is so that Lisa can make it, and I'm not kidding.
Okay, good.
Which means if I can make it, anybody can.
Absolutely. So I believe in doing as much in advance. And if you have a great, you know, a food processor or a really great blender or a Vitamix, I like to do batches of things. So if I need to chop up some carrots, I'm not going to, you know, sit there and chop up 2 carrots for, you know, for a recipe, or I will. But it's so much easier with the carrots, celery, and onions. You just throw each one in the food processor, and then you throw it in a little Ziploc bag and throw it in your freezer. I always have those basics diced up ready to go. Garlic as well. And I have to be honest, sometimes there's a huge difference, say, in garlic, in the pre-chopped garlic that comes in a jar with some liquid, and fresh garlic. No doubt, always go fresh. But if you buy fresh garlic yourself, and just, I will buy like a whole entire, sometimes I'll cheat and I'll buy a whole entire of those big tubs of fresh peeled garlic, throw it right in a food processor, and then I just throw that all into a Ziploc bag and just scrape off a chunk whenever I need it. But that is definitely just about as tasty as a fresh chopped clove. So not the one that comes pre-chopped in a can in the supermarket. Buy the fresh cloves or buy a whole head. Do it all at once. And I still, oh my gosh, it's embarrassing how long that little bag of garlic I have in that freezer is, but it still tastes delicious. And I just chip off.
Yeah,
you
see,
can
that's
do it
great.
Individually in ice cube. I don't. I chip off with a little knife and then put it right in the frying pan.
Well, it's so funny you say that, because about an hour ago, my husband was, because he's off today, and so he's really health conscious, and he's big into ginger, and he makes this ginger tea every morning. It doesn't even have tea. I mean, he's going to live forever. It's ginger, turmeric, and cardamom. I mean, seriously, like, this guy is doing great. But he was upstairs, and the whole house smells like ginger, because he'll take it, and he'll chop it up, and he'll stick it in Ziploc bags, and that way, in the morning, he's not taking out the ginger to make one cup of tea. So I think he's already on his way, so I got to help him. He's got to help me with these other hacks. There's a cashew cream.
Yeah.
You mentioned the garlic. I just mentioned ginger. Of course, onions. I mean, it's so nice to be able to just grab and go.
And cashew cream,
and I'd love to touch a little bit on that cashew cream, because that, I think, is Amy's favorite recipe in the entire book. And it's basically this: equal parts cashews and water thrown
raw
in a blender. And I can vouch that you add cashew cream to things where you would normally add heavy cream or half and half. It is the same texture, the same richness, but zero cholesterol, none of those terrible fats, and you and your guests will never know the difference.
And cashews, by the way, Lisa, let me just add in, they have to be raw. Cashews must be raw.
Okay.
Easy to buy them raw in bulk. So I did it last night. I just took a big thing of cashews, one part cashews to one part water, didn't even measure it. I mean, it's not important to measure it. And just pureed the heck out of it in a high-powered like food processor, or a blender like a Ninja or a Vitamix. And then I froze half of it, and the other half I was just in the mood for some saffron cream. Sounds so fancy. All I did is put a little salt in there, and then I threw some little saffron, and then I drizzled it over last night over salmon and some cauliflowered rice mixed in with rice. So it was kind of like half cauliflower rice, half rice. And gosh, it was, you know, stupendous.
Sounds so good. Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm looking at your crab mac and cheese, and that's got the raw cashews. That's got sweet potato, which I love. It's got almond milk, nutritional yeast. You can use a whole wheat or gluten-free spiral or macaroni pasta. It's got the nutmeg and the garlic. I mean, that just sounds incredible. That's in your rich seafood dishes, decadent, vegan, and vegan recipes section.
Absolutely. And that one you can make with or without the crab. So if you have some, you know, vegans, Okay. Absolutely make a big batch of that. If you want to be more decadent, stir in some crab, stir in some shrimp. And I have to be honest, that is one recipe that I probably worked on and threw out more batches. I think I made a batch once for 100 people and had to throw it out. It was impossible for me to come up with a mac and cheese that was great for you, but that didn't taste funky or didn't taste baked.
Yeah.
So I really think, I must say, that is a prize recipe that I shared with her. I think it's a perfect balance.
Oh, that is great. Well, I'm a huge tuna casserole fan. I mean, I haven't had it since I was young because I don't really eat dairy and I don't eat a lot of, you know, noodles and things like that. But I was looking at this one. I'm like, okay, I've got to make this because I will eat some pasta for this. I mean, this looks really, really good. And there's a lot of great non-dairy yogurts out there too now. There's one called Kite Hill that I recently had a woman on the show recommend. I love the So Delicious coconut milk yogurts. They're really good.
That's mine. Yeah.
I do. Oh, isn't that good? Oh my gosh! So
and
I gotta make that too.
Plain in there. Don't make the mistake of grabbing the vanilla. Oh. You'd be very sorry when you're in the cooking. But again,
I'm like, this is too sweet.
But that's a perfect substitution for regular yogurt, also for sour cream. Any recipe, switch it out. I highly doubt you'd know the difference. And you can take many recipes with sour cream. Switch it out for the unsweetened yogurt. And yeah, the So Delicious one is one of my all time favorites. The coconut milk one as well. But there's all these great new brands that we try at our market, and I'm telling you, every week I try a different one. I'm sure, you know, the one that you mentioned probably is, you know, a superb one as well.
Yeah, you know, there's so much variety now. I have to say, I did make the Thai curry haddock in foil because I'm like all about the coconut milk and I love curry. That was so easy. I just have to tell you, it's four haddock fillets. There's coconut milk, Thai green curry paste, tomatoes, mushrooms, scallions. That's it. And it was amazing. Yay! So I'm very happy.
Yeah, this is Lisa. So that's yummy. One of my favorites as well. And the great thing is, if you can't get the fish that's mentioned in the recipe or you prefer another fish, all the fish can be swapped out. So I made that same recipe with salmon because that's what I was able to get that day. So, you know, you don't have to be married to the type of fish mentioned in the recipe, which gives you that much more flexibility.
I like that. You know, speaking of fish, let's talk about, you hear about sustainable seafood and there's certain fish you shouldn't buy and the farm fish. I think that could be confusing for folks. Can you talk to us about that a little bit?
Oh,
whichever one of you feels more comfortable.
Yeah, that's so true. And that was a big slap across the head for us as well. It's really problematic. There are a lot of fish out there that are on the verge of extinction, they're not sustainably caught, and or are filled with contaminants like mercury. So it's really important to be very selective about the types of fish that you buy. So a few general rules, and this harkens back to your nutritionist friend who mentioned sardines. The smaller the fish, the better it is. So the small fish are not contaminated, and they're generally plentiful because they reproduce quickly. So that's always a good choice. Domestic fish are also generally a good choice because our government has fairly strict guidelines for fish. And if you buy fish that's from other places, you don't always know what you're getting. And if you live on the shore like I do, I live at the Jersey Shore, you know, we get all kinds of fish coming in right off the boat. So buying local fish is also a very good idea. So a few good catches, of course, the small fish like anchovies and sardines. I was very happy that salmon, which is my favorite fish, is on that list, but it must be Pacific wild caught. So you want to stay away from Atlantic farmed salmon. Most of the shellfish, like crab, certain kinds of shrimp, and most shellfish are really good. On the bad list are Chilean sea bass, which I was depressed about because that was one of my favorites. I do not eat it anymore. It's very high in mercury, and it's overfished. a lot of the flatfish, like flounder and sole and halibut, are contaminated and overfished. And a lot of shrimp is bad. 90% of shrimp is imported from places like Vietnam, and they're not clean. So you just have to be really careful.
You know, and adding to that, even to the salmon note, it's so confusing, and I think that was one of the reasons that motivated us to write this book. There's an entire guide in there, good catch, bad catch, questionable catch.
Yes.
And not only do we tell you why it's good and bad, but we also give you substitution. But I think that there are, even on this list, for instance, there are some things that you have to just talk to your fishmonger about. He may have a specialty salmon that is from a region that you're not supposed to, but it happens to be sustainable, and it happens to be, you know, farmed in a very, very different way. There are all these new different methodologies. So I think that the guide is critical. But then if you're someplace like Whole Foods and the most experienced guide is behind the counter, you can ask them questions and perhaps, you know, try some other things. But the fishmonger is your, you know, your best friend. Well, perhaps. It's a good friend. But you can usually, you know, if you're going to a good store, you can trust them and ask them questions. Bring a guide with you. You know what you're looking for, and then ask questions if they don't have exactly what you want.
Yeah, I think that is such a great idea. You know, I got to tell a funny story about this book. When I first got it, I was like, oh, Seagate Eating, this is so cool. And I opened it up just randomly, and I saw Crunchy French Toast Casserole. I'm thinking, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's a good book. I don't see how the fish fits in, but I'll give it a chance. And I'm reading it going, oh, wait a second, there's other non-fish recipes in here. See my segue to bring in the non-fish recipes.
Yeah. This book is the way we like to eat. It's everything. It's delicious. It's decadent. I have to be honest. Lisa and I, deprivation is not in our vocabulary. We like to stay fit. We like to stay healthy. And absolutely, we do believe, although we didn't do this for diet reasons, we do believe that eating this way has kept us both at a very, you know, very healthy, at a fighting weight.
Oh, yeah.
But you can't.
You're both gorgeous.
Oh, thank you.
And your hair is so good. I mean, both of you. I was looking on your website. I thought, oh, my gosh, that fish is doing something, right? Because they say, like, when I remember to take my fish oil, my hair looks better. My skin looks better. Yeah. Your hair is amazing.
Amy has the most incredible hair. Oh. She really does.
Well, you both are gorgeous women.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Sure. Well, I just think you're both so much fun, and I'm not letting you go yet. I want to just talk a little bit more in the book. You've also got a great restaurant survival guide and sushi primer in this book. You've got dissecting food labels, the tips, tricks, and dirty little secrets. And, you know, what do you say to people who are vegan now and they want to go vegan? I think you have to just believe in yourself, right, in your own health, and try to just not listen to the people who are hardcore and, you know, giving you a hard time.
Yeah, it's I forwarded to Amy today an article that just really sort of blasted us for, you know, our terrible deceit in readopting fish into our diet. I mean, people are really angry about this. Some people, other people are thrilled. There are people who want to eat healthier and want to eat cleaner, and they're desperate for something that's doable. So, you know, we feel that we're really reaching out to a wide swath of people who just need to eat better, and they're excited about this. So that's what we have to stay focused on.
And our book was not written for the ethical vegan. We honor, we respect, we think ethical vegans are amazing. And we're so happy they are, you know, a part of our society. Lisa and I are vegans for health reasons. We're not ethical vegans.
Sure.
Now, absolutely, when it comes to fish, you know, we throw in the sustainability. So in order for fish to become on our good catch list, it has to be sustainably caught. It has to be low in mercury, low in toxins, high in omega-3s. There's many things that go into us getting it. And sustainability is one of them. But no, Lisa and I are not ethical vegans, and thus it was very easy for us to become vegans.
Well, I think what you gals are doing is fantastic. Again, the book is Seagan Eating, The Lure of a Healthy, Sustainable Seafood and Vegan Diet, The Ultimate Seafood Plus Vegan Resource and Cookbook. Amy, tell us all the ways we can learn more about you awesome gals and the great work you're doing.
Lisa, you go for this one.
We have a beautiful website, seaganeating.com. We have quite a few recipes on there. We have a lot of great information and biographies. The book is available at all major booksellers, including Amazon and Barnes & Noble. So it's very easy to find us.
You know, looking at your site, where you have Meet the Authors on the homepage, are you guys covering yourselves up with like what kind of, that's a certain kind of kale. I forget what it's called, but it's kind of
it's chard.
And we're wearing
chard. Oh my gosh, that's yes.
We call that we call those our Swiss chardigans.
Can you guys move next door? We would have so much fun. We could just have a fish party every day. Oh, I just think you gals are the best. You'll have to come back. This has been so much fun. I love doing Talk Healthy Today. Foodie Friday is such a blast, especially when I have wonderful gals like this. So I hope people will go to iTunes and subscribe. Please rate and review. It really helps grow the show. Everyone, run out and get this book, Segan Eating. You'll be so glad you did. It's fantastic. And I'm just so thrilled. I hope everyone has a great day. Thanks for listening and stay well.